Well, thank you for coming up this morning. Today in the sermon, I'm going to be talking about God's people gather. Do you know what that means? It means as God's people, we come together in church each week to worship Him, and we get to do that. It's not something we have to do, it's something we get to do. And if you look at it that way, I promise you, it's transformational. It completely changes. Well, the reason that we gather, why is that? Well, maybe I can compare it to something I bet you've seen a bunch of times done, building a campfire. Have you ever seen your grandparents or mom and dad build a campfire? When they build a campfire, do they take the pieces of wood and do they throw them all over the yard, put some lighter fluid on it, light it, and boom, s'mores and marshmallows in 5 minutes? Is that the way it works? No. In fact, if those pieces of wood are all over the yard, what happens to the flame? It starts the whole yard. It can start the whole yard on fire, but what's more likely to happen? Don't you think that the flame will go out? Because when you put those pieces of wood and you gather them all together, something amazing happens. It lights on fire and it starts burning, and when one log doesn't light as much as the other log helps the other one. If you think about it, that's kind of what happens. Well, when God's people gather, kind of the same thing happens. When we gather together, God's word brings us together and we get to sing together. We don't have to sing solos. We get to hear God's word together. We confess our faith together. And you know what? God uses His word to help each of us grow in faith. And instead of designing us to be all over the place, God brings us together in one place to encourage one another. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Let's ask God to help us keep doing that, okay? Dear Jesus, thank you for bringing us, your church, together. Help us remember we're not alone. And instead, Lord, bind us together and help us continue gathering together and finding joy in doing that as we serve your name. Protect us from the evil one and give us joy as we gather. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. May God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you now as you've gathered together and always, amen. God's word for this sermon, this God's People Gather Sunday, is recorded for us in the New Testament book of Hebrews. Reading from chapter 10, I'm going to be starting with just a couple of verses right before our reading, and then you'll be able to see our reading right up on the screen. The Bible says this, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open for us through the curtain that is His body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." This is God's word. In the name of the triune God, dear members of God's family, brothers and sisters in Christ. With some things, it's just open to debate. Which is better, whether in person or online? Take, for example, gathering with family. Which do you prefer? Well, I think you know that we have one granddaughter named Marie. She's 21 months old now, and she lives out in Nevada. If you let me keep talking about her, I'll show you a zillion pictures. Well, earlier this June, we were able to gather together in person, and it was great. She got to sit on our laps, we got to read books to her, we got to give her hugs. These days, we're thankful to be able to FaceTime her. Oh, we still get to see her, still get to talk to her. In fact, when she sees my wife, she puts her hands together, it's time to pray. She knows. Well, we still get to see her, but it's different. which way would you prefer to see your family? Or take meetings, for example. When we're in the same room, presentations and reports seem to go so much smoother. But Zoom, a new word, a new technology, we all learned of the pandemic, it changed everything. People from around the world can get together. They don't even have to step on a plane. Plus, with Zoom, there's an added bonus. I can wear a suit and a sport shirt, and I can wear shorts, and no one is the wiser. Well, when COVID-19 hit, we had unprecedented lockdowns. And for every single one of us, online worship became a temporary necessity. And thank God, I mean that, thank God that God gave us a technology to connect us with His Word. But now especially thank God too that the lockdowns have lifted. But even though those lockdowns have lifted, there are still many people that just watch worship online. Well, some people watch because, well, they have a lingering medical condition, and rightfully so, worship online. But for many others, well, it's just a convenience. And I have to admit, it is a lot more convenient to watch online than to gather together in person. Well, with online worship, you can just sit in front of a screen. You're here all messy and just watch in your jammies. So it just begs the question, doesn't it? Which is better, either online or in person? Even though God's Word was written some 20 centuries before the internet was ever a thing, God's Word actually weighs in on this debate. A key verse in this debate is actually Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. The Bible puts it this way, and quite honestly, I prefer the old NIV translation, "Let us not give up meeting together." The Greek word translated meeting together is episynagogein. Even if you're not a Greek student, I think you can hear the Jewish word that's in that word, episynagogein. It's synagogue. Dynamically translated, it would be, let's not stop synagoguing. It would help you to know those first century recipients when the writer told them that. They were Jews who had recently converted to the Christian faith and learned the joy of Jesus. These people were devout. They understood what God said, and they obeyed the third commandment that told them to worship together each week. Don't give that up, God's Word says. And God's Word says the same to us today. God's Word is going to show us today that God's people gather for three reasons. Three things we do absolutely better when we assemble together. Well, some quick background on the book of Hebrews. Those early believers, they never had to worry about COVID. They didn't have to worry about a virus stopping them from worship. They had something far more dangerous. They had to worry about persecution. The Roman Emperor Nero was really ramping up persecution, and it was downright dangerous for any Christians to be found gathering together like we are right now. Well, at that time, if Christians would gather together to just hear God's Word and worship, the authorities would come in, arrest them, toss them into jail, and throw away the key, and they'd never be heard from again. And yet the people still assembled? Doesn't that just blow your mind? Well, but even more darker and even more damning is that there were growing numbers of early believers that were literally leaving the faith behind, turning back to Judaism, and they were literally giving up their faith. Oh, maybe it was family pressure, maybe it was just easier, but the writer to the Hebrews spends the first two-thirds of the book explaining why Christianity is so much better than Judaism or any other religion. He first of all goes on to explain why Jesus is much better than Moses. He also tells us about how the new covenant of God's grace is so much better than the old covenant based on works that no one could ever possibly live up to. The writer skillfully explains how the sacrifice of Jesus was much better and much more effective than all those Old Testament sacrifices, including the ones that the high priest would bring once a year. Jesus died once for all, that made up for all sins, that made you and me right with God, and that was much better than all the blood of those animals that was ever spilled. Well, that brings us to our reading. Did you know that our sermon reading, verses 19 to 25, is actually one sentence in the Greek language? And in the all of those words, it come together to give us one single thought. God's people gather. And here's why. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open for us through that curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God. Now, this was vivid language for those Jewish listeners, and the writer connected with each of them. He talked about entering the most holy place. You know what that is, right? That's the Holy of Holies, that perfectly square room that no one ever entered. It was where the Ark of the Covenant resided. No one entered it because that was God's presence. God said, of all the places on earth I am, that's the one place your holy God lives. Just once a year, the high priest would carefully walk into that room with a bowl of animal blood. He would sprinkle it on the altar as directed by God. And God wanted the people to know, because there would be blood spilled, God would keep his presence among them. But those animal sacrifices were all there for a reason. They weren't a means to an end. They simply pointed the people ahead to a much greater sacrifice, Jesus' sacrifice. And because of what Jesus has done, because he was willing to give his body on the cross as the Son of God and as our human brother, you and I are able to do something, well, it's unthinkable. It's unmanageable for those early believers. We actually get to be in God's holy presence right here, right now. But do you think of worship that way? Most people just think about, well, what I'm doing for God, I'm coming here. Oh, my friends, it's so much more than that. Don't let the devil fool you. You and I get to be in God's holy presence. Well, that brings us to the first reason why God's people gather. We gather to worship, and that's a big deal. Maybe this will explain to you what I mean. Imagine when you came to the sanctuary, as you were trying to find your place in a pew, you looked up in the front of church, and you didn't see Pastor Scharf or me. You saw a big Bengal tiger licking his chops at you. Now, Bengal tigers get to be about 10 feet long. They weigh about 600 pounds. They have 4-inch razor-sharp teeth. With a tiger staring you down, would you enter here? Of course not, you'd say. It's not safe, and it's not, and you'd be right. So what about being in the presence of a holy God who absolutely hates sin? Is he safe? Just ask the people of Sodom and Gomorrah after God rained down fire and brimstone on their village. Is God safe? Just ask the army of Egypt that's at the bottom of the Red Sea and that was swallowed up. Is God safe? Ask the people of Israel. They didn't go into the Holy of Holies. You know why? They didn't want to. They were absolutely terrified, and they knew God was serious about hating sin. And it was much scarier than being in the presence of a hungry tiger. But are you terrified right now? Of course not, we'd say. And the Bible tells us why we don't have reason to fear. The Bible says we have confidence. God remains just as holy as he did back in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. He hates sin, the sin that we're born with, the sin that we do when we thought no one was looking. God hasn't changed. Oh, but we have. Because of Jesus' death on the cross, because of his resurrection from the grave, and because by God's grace, you and I believe that in faith, we have changed from sinner to saint. Can you and I draw near to him home at home? Oh, yes, absolutely. And I pray that we do. I pray that we just don't hear the sermon and leave forgetting what was said. I pray that we review this message on our online, maybe even watch it with somebody who wasn't able to get here to church this week. But is it the same watching online or in person? Let me give you but one test. When you're at home, sitting by yourself, do you sing with just as much joy? Do you sing just as regularly as you do when you're gathered together, being led by an amazing choir, hearing the music? Do we sing as regularly or as joyful? If not, I think you can understand why God's people gather to worship him. But there's a second reason why we gather, to gain hope. God's word says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Hope is wanting something certain to happen. And usually that hope is uncertain. Let me give you a few examples. I hope the Green Bay Packers win their game tonight. I hope the Vikings win their game tomorrow night. My friend Al has been diagnosed with cancer. I sure hope he gets better. Now, our hopes might be optimistic, but nothing is guaranteed. Usually, things don't work out here, this side of eternity, in our broken world. But in our sermon reading, we learn so much more. When we hope in Christ, that's completely different. Because we hope in a God who's never let us down, not in this life or the life to come. The Bible clearly says that God is faithful. He's never broken a promise, and he's certainly not going to start with you. When God promises something, he keeps it. God promises to take care of us, and he did every day of the pandemic. God promises to provide, protect, and even if death comes knocking at our door, you and I don't need to fear. Because when we close our eyes in death as a believer in Christ, we open them in heaven, guaranteed. As Jesus rose, so we shall rise. But when you think about it, our Christian faith given to us in our baptism, it's so fragile. It needs to be fed, otherwise it's lost. The problem isn't with God, the problem is with us. How we need to be able to feed our faith. Now, someone here might say, but I can do that at home. I can read my Bible at home. And truly, I pray that you do. But keep in mind that word, unswervingly. Unswervingly means to hold on to something so tight that you're willing to do anything. Let me give you an example. Let's say I want to go dieting. What do I need to do? Just talk about it? No. I need to cut out the carbs. I need to be able to eat more greens. Oh, but there's more to it. I need to not only diet, I also need to exercise, walk, run, sit-ups, push-ups, do whatever I can. It's not an either-or proposition, it's both and. The same is true with feeding our faith. It's not just about watching online. It's not just about gathering together. It's both. It's being able to see God who loves us and who wants to feed our faith. And in a few minutes, you and I get to do that in the most amazing way. You and I get to take Holy Communion, heaven's meal together, standing shoulder to shoulder, side by side, receiving Jesus' true body and blood for the assurance that we have forgiveness. Can you take communion online? Not exactly. But now you know why God's people gather. to gain that hope that we have. And finally, we gather to encourage one another. Our reading, our sermon closes with these words: "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching." Every St. Paul's member struggles with something. Maybe it's temptation. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's something worse. But see, the devil doesn't want you to know this. You don't have to struggle alone. God didn't create us to just live all by ourselves. Instead, he created us with a human need, to need each other. And when God's people gather, we gather to encourage each other. When I see you, that encourages me. When you see me and the other ministers, I pray that encourages you. Because we know we are not alone. We have God's people to help us. And sometimes that can make the difference between continuing in the fighting the good fight of faith and just giving up. We need to spur one another on. Maybe that means later today just taking a little bit more time when you come to church. Yes, talk to your friends, but how about talk to somebody you don't know very well? Ask their name. Care about them. Maybe that means getting your picture taken when you'd really not rather have your picture taken down in the fireside room for our directory. But when you start to think about it, doing something so simple, to go all out so that our newest members makes it easier so they know who you are, and maybe even your new pastor knows who you are. Let me say it clearly. Online worship is good. In-person worship, well, I think you can agree that's better. Last week, when I watched NFL teams kicking off their season, I saw so many people gathering together, paying amazing amounts of money, traveling so far just to see their heroes in person. God bless them. But may God bless each one of us who gather together to worship God, to gain more hope and more faith, and yes, to encourage each other. God's people gather. I pray I see you next week. Isn't God worth it? Amen. For a stewardship thought, God has gifted us with the gift of faith. Well, why did God pick us? He picked us because God can use us to simply share our faith with others. And you're doing that. You're doing that when you bring your children up for the children's message. Just bring them to God's house. Oh, but there are others that need to hear about Jesus. And God wants you to use them, to reach them using you and me. Maybe it's just an invitation that we can give to someone next week, to gather together, to let them know they're loved by God just like we are. And they too can have the forgiveness and the joy that we have. Does everybody come? Not everybody comes when I invite them either. But the results aren't up to us. The results are up to God. God just says, make the effort. And when you remember what God did for us, it's honestly not that hard. Let's pray a verse of the hymn to ask God to help us. It's hymn number 901, O Christians Haste. O Christians Haste, your mission high fulfilling, to tell to all the world that God is light, that he who made all nations is not willing one soul should perish, lost in sheds of night. Publish glad tidings, publish tidings of peace, tidings of Jesus, redemption and release. Amen.